Good morning, honorable members. I can significantly notice that none of our colleagues on the opposition chairs that is present. We are very happy that we have a member at least, the honorable Waters sitting over there. We are going to start. We will follow what we normally do by allowing the secretary to read any apologies if she has, and then the agenda is in front of us. It's very simple. We'll go through that. I know other members were delayed by the bus, but they are still on the way. All right. Can we therefore allow the secretary to do that?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and departmental officials in presence and other stakeholders. I have a couple of apologies in front of me. One is from Honorable Mabilo, who has been booked off from the 13th to the 17th of March, the whole of this week. And Honorable Sondi, he's been deployed for party commitments in KZN. Another one is from Honorable Fanda Melve, who also serving another ad hoc committee for the appointment of commissioners to serve in the Commission on Gender Equality. One is from Honorable Masango and Honorable Wilson that are unable to be with us due to party matters. Another one is from the Minister, Honorable Matabila Dlamini, who won't be with us today. She attended a cabinet meeting. Another one is from Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Henrietta Bogopane-Zulu, who also not being with us today due to the doctor's appointment. Chairperson, those are the apologies I've received. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The written apologies, can we adopt them? And I think the reasons are quite understandable.
Not is necessary. It does not all you wanted really adopted.
Any second? Thank you very much.
I just received another apology via SMS from Honorable de Kock, who will be very late because she had to wait for the nanny.
And Beverly.
Yes. So, and Beverly, Honorable yes. Beverly. She'll be late as
yes.
well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Honorable, the whip has actually hand up. Any other seconder? There is another apology. Mama, Honorable Hope has actually not dead. Can I get a seconder to that apology? Thank you. Proceed to the business of the day. The agenda is in front of us. We have a presentation by Honorable Waters. The reason for this presentation being a petition from a particular community. And we felt that instead, we did acknowledge receiving the petition in time, and we have been very busy as a committee, but we felt that we need to squeeze him today so that he can actually share information, what is the petition about, and then the committee will listen, and then if there are questions for clarity, they will be asked. And then we will see how it should be handled going forward. So can I therefore request you, Honorable Member, in fact, welcoming you in our committee and always appreciating the fact that you really care about this committee's mandate, and you also care about what should come in front of the committee so that we can take necessary decisions. Thank you so much for that. Then can I allow you to be on the floor? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, for those kind words. It's nice to be back, to see familiar faces, particularly from the department. And Chair, yes, the first committee I ever presented a private member's bill to was this committee, and now the first committee I'm ever presenting a petition to is this committee. So thank you very much. I did send my presentation through, so I hope you've all got copies. Do you have? You got, okay. So basically what necessitated this petition was the fact that during constituency visits to child welfare organizations on the East Rand, I'm from Ekurhuleni, so I'm focusing on the East Rand, but this is a snapshot of what is happening around the country. It's not just confined to Ekurhuleni. I was told consistently about the underfunding of child services or welfare services by the state towards NGOs. So if you look on slide two, I just want to talk about the Constitution, which is the overarching piece of legislation in our country. In the Bill of Rights, section 28(1), it says every child has the right to family care or parental care or to appropriate alternative care when removed from the family environment, to basic nutrition, shelter, basic health services and social services, to be protected from maltreatment, neglect, abuse or degradation, and also 28(2), a child's best interests are of paramount importance in every matter concerning the child. And then in addition, we have the wonderful Children's Act, which we amended late last year. And I had the honor to be part of the team that dealt with it in its initial phase in this committee many, many years ago. But just to go through what the Children's Act says briefly, I won't read the whole act because we'll be here for a week. The Children's Act stipulates statutory services that government is compelled to provide. Now, statutory services, as opposed to other services, it's an important distinction. Statutory services means that by law, through the Constitution and through the Children's Act, government has to provide those services. They have to. They've got no choice, right? And you can have a phased-in approach, but the Children's Act has been in effect for now for over 10 years. And one would have thought the phased-in approach would have been completed by now. So the objectives of the Act are to promote the preservation and strengthening of families, to give effect to the following constitutional rights, and that's namely to give effect to the Republic's obligations concerning the well-being of children in terms of international instruments binding the Republic, to make provision for structures, services, means of promoting and monitoring the sound physical, psychological, intellectual, emotional, and social development of children. So that's promoting and monitoring. Now, promoting and monitoring, monitoring in itself means a lot of social work has to happen in order to make sure that vulnerable children are being monitored, and that the emotional well-being, the intellectual well-being, the physical well-being is sound. E, to strengthen and develop community structures which can assist in providing care and protection for children. Family care, parental care, or appropriate alternative care when removed from the family environment. The social services have to be provided, protection of maltreatment, neglect, abuse, or degradation, and that the best interests of the child are paramount, again, in every single matter. So, if you look on page slide 5, funding to childcare MPOs. I asked the question back in 2014, and I ask a lot of questions, so many of my colleagues submit them on my behalf. So that's why it doesn't say M. Waters asked the minister, but I did write the question. I asked the question to the Minister of Social Development, what is the annual estimated cost to the Alberton Child Welfare? Now, I just took one example here, the Alberton Child Welfare, of providing statutory services, not other services, statutory services on behalf of government, and B, what amount does the government actually provide for these statutory services, right? The reply is, the estimated cost for the Alberton Child Welfare to provide statutory services on behalf of government is 5.2 million rand, right? And then says the actual amount the government has allocated to Alberton Child Welfare for providing statutory services is 1.55 million. Now, there's a massive gap there, huge gap. And if you turn to page 6, the gap is actually 70% underfunding by government. So 70, not 17, 70%. So what government is expecting here is that for NGOs to provide statutory services on its behalf, but without the necessary funding. It's breaking its promise to the children of this country and actually breaking the promises of the Constitution by failing to provide the funding for child services for this country, so for statutory services. That's what I'm talking about now, statutory services. And in my mind, the transgression and the violation of the Constitution and the Children's Act is extremely serious. I believe it is a transgression and a violation. Because you cannot expect an NGO to provide all those services without the funding, and particularly a 70% lack of funding. Now, if you turn to page 7, what I've done, I've just given you a breakdown of all the child welfare, not when I say child welfare, I don't mean every single NGO in the East Rand. I'm talking about child welfare NGOs. But as I say, it's a snapshot, and it affects. And this snapshot you can take to any part of the country. It's the same situation everywhere in the country. There you've got the child welfare organizations in the East Rand, ranging from Springs at the top to Timbisa at the bottom.
Just a minute, Honourable Member, and I'm really sorry for the interruption. Can I request, for the sake of time, that you skip some of the questions we can always read about, particularly where there has been a reply. But at the same time, I think what we're looking for is the gist of the petition itself.
I'll be brief, Chair. Okay. But slide 7 shows that every single child welfare organization is underfunded, from between 42% to 77%. So nowhere does the government actually fulfill its mandate to the children of this country. Nowhere. Then on page 8, in a reply to another question, briefly I asked, on what basis does government not fund Alberton Child Welfare properly? And the minister's reply on page 9, I think, says it all. I won't read it all except for the last paragraph where the minister asks me, I'm keen to know how the Honourable Member arrived at the percentage the government is not contributing to this NGO, right? Given that NGOs have a responsibility to raise their own funds. Well, how I derived there was from her previous reply. You take one figure from the other, and that gives you a percentage of the underfunding. Then on page 10, it's just another reply to a question that I asked way back in 2012, in fact, 5 years ago, about whether or not the department intends to pay 100% of the costs of all statutory services to NGOs that are providing services on behalf of government. And they talk about a new funding model that would be take place in 2013 and 14. That funding model has never taken place. The NGOs are still not funded 100%. So the problems faced by NGOs on page on slide 11, Chair, is that their ability to raise additional funds has been severely diminished since the introduction of the lotto. If you remember when the lotto was introduced in 2000, this was promoted as a silver bullet that would solve all the charities, as they were then called, problems about fundraising. Everything would be pooled in one centralized fund, and charities or NGOs could then apply for funding. But the lack of frequency with regards to the call for applications is a problem for child welfare organizations, as is the length of time it takes for applications. Now, page 12 is very important, Chair. It is a reply to a question that I asked to the Minister of Trade and Industry that looks after the lotto. And maybe this committee wants to call in the lotto to discuss it. But the last time Edenvale Child Welfare got funding from the lotto was in 2012, right? In 2015, the lotto called for applications, which Edenvale Child Welfare applied for. There were 22,000 applicants, Chair. They are 16,931 in the queue. And the Charities Distribution Agency, the CDA, that makes the final decision on whether NGOs receive money has part-time members only, not full-time members, and can only adjudicate when they are able to sit, which depends on the availability of members. So you have this body that's part-time that must deal with 22,000 applications. And that's why it's taking an excessively long period of time before NGOs receive any money from the lotto, which is also placing a huge financial burden on NGOs. So on slide 13, the consequences of the funding crisis, it's children, and I call it a crisis because I believe in my heart it is a crisis. Children are not receiving the services they are entitled to by the Constitution and the Children's Act. Government is reneging on its obligations to children, and government is violating the Constitution and the Children's Act. On page 14 is another reply, but you can read that, and that's got to do with the fact that the government says the maximum number of cases any social worker should be carrying at any given time is 60, right? Now, if you turn the page to page 15 and 16, the Kempton Park Child Welfare does have an average caseload of 60 cases, according to this reply, but auxiliary social workers are also carrying 60 cases. Now, you know and I know that auxiliary social workers are not supposed to be carrying cases. They're there to be they're having their apprenticeship, if I can put it that way. And therefore, they shouldn't be carrying these cases, even if they are very motivated and dedicated. The fact is they're not qualified social workers yet. Tembisa has 104 cases per social worker. That includes auxiliary workers, social workers. Edenvale is 71. And then Boksburg has three officers. Vosloorus is 47, which is a good number. Reicha Park is 58. And Boksburg itself is 155. So, in my view, what steps can you take as a committee that oversee the Children's Act? Is that you should call the Department of Social Development in to explain its funding model and how it justifies not subsidizing statutory services by 100%. Okay, that's the first thing that I think should happen. This, also, you need to call in Trade and Industry, and they need to explain why there's a slow process in approving applications for funding from the lotto, and why that CDA body is only a part-time body, not a full-time body. Something has to happen there, Chair. And then what I would also suggest on page 18 is that you call the national bodies of MPOs into a meeting with you to talk about solutions to the problem. You may recall that the MPOs took the government to court in the Free State about the funding model, the lack of funding, I should say, and they won that case. Not that it's helped anything, but the fact is, so NGOs are desperate for money, Chair, and every year more and more responsibility falls on their shoulders, but the money just doesn't come from government. Page 19 is thank you and ends, and I hope I was brief enough, Chair.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Having said, when we were going to engage in this item, I have said that the committee requires to listen. And then we will discuss and find a way of responding to this presentation. But I do want to draw attention. We are not going to allow the department to answer now. They were here to listen so that they can go back, because we're handing this over to them to consider, and then we will invite you and we'll invite them to come. But I do want to honestly talk to you, Honorable Member, to say, since I joined this committee, of which I'm very grateful, because at least I reached where I was not able to channel my reflections about the broader part of South Africa, particularly the forgotten ones. I listened to your presentation and areas that you touched, But I do know that if I would go to Kwambonambi or I would go to Nutu, there is nothing, absolutely nothing. Being honest to you that maybe members of parliament must sometime take a tour and visit other areas and compare what is available to those who complain. They are complaining because they have been given half a loaf. I am pretty sure others have never seen the dawn of the day. I know there are children who are naked, unable to get a nappy. This is a reality in our country, that others live in the first world. Others lived in the underworld. Third world, all symptoms of third world being there. I think you must also, I rely on you, because you have an ear for this welfare or social challenges. We need to have a round table with the NGOs, and they must tell us a story why they didn't have any footprint in the areas where I come from. When we talk about early childhood development center, there's none. There's none. When we talk about school, there's none. I went to school only when I was 12 because there was no school nearby. The situation hasn't much changed. So I'm going to allow you, honorable members, to make your comments, whether you ask clarifications. But I think what the honorable member is raising is a reality, that the more we have people who know other pockets of poverty in the first world, South Africa, then the department is having a serious constraint in so far as budgeting is concerned. They can give the amount that I see here. And if our people would see that there are NGOs, there's none where I come from, not a single NGO that is working there. And there's no football, there's no whatever. Absolutely, we are living not in South Africa. And this is the reality. And I don't think we need, as members of parliament, to be pulling each other this side and that side. Why don't we come under one roof and focus and assess what is available and what is needed, and then we can together march forward. With this, I thank you very much, but I think I've harped this for a very long time. I've been around for a very long time. I was once a rural nursing sister. Before everything, where you would deliver a baby in a kitchen with the only light being fire, and trying to put a drip in a bleeding woman, postpartum bleeding, and the woman would die in your hands, turning white. So these matters of maternal death, etc., there has not been a reimbursement of saying, can we, out of what we have, sympathize with those who are unfortunate. With these words, I think I hear NGOs all over. They phone me, they tell me how much they were, including cars, administration, all the matters that are raising. For us, we're still talking about food, and also to feed the mother in order to have breast milk because there's no food. Can I allow members then to choose any, my honorable member? You can ask, you can express, you can what ask for clarifications. Honorable Mamfotsi.
No, Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for the information. In fact, when somebody touched the lives of the children, we know that you are building the future. Chair, my question is not a question to him, but to the department. maybe it would be important that we get the funding model from the department in terms of the funding of the NPOs. But putting that in mind, that as much as the report would say there's underfunding, we know that in other NPOs, the issue of compliance is a problem on the financial statement. So this is a two-way process. Both the department, but again, we know that what our people are doing with these NPOs. Take what is happening in Gauteng, the 42 million scam that is happening on the NGOs and NPOs. So maybe the case of Gauteng social development will assist us on this, Chair. I hope you know about the story of Gauteng social development. So it will assist us if the 42 million is being deposited in different NGOs, whereas there's a shortage of people in child welfare who are not getting money. So let's get the funding model later with the department and have a day with that and check the issues of NPOs then within time. But thanks for advocating for the children. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Shepherdson. Let me also welcome the report from Tatu Manzi. It's such a very informative one, but I also want to support what Honorable Mokgotsi is saying, because at the report here, the funding model is key and very important. If then moving forward, we can get that from the department and also outline, because also there are disparities in terms of how the different provinces are dealing with the issue, and maybe perhaps in that they should also cover that, because it's going to assist. Not only as much as the presentation is only based in that area, it's also going to assist us in other areas, because I'm definitely sure that in terms of different provinces, when they deal with the problem, they deal with it differently, even how they fund it. They need to really assist us also with the information from the different provinces as we deal with the petition. We are able to also be able to refer and learn other practices from other provinces. Thank you.
Thanks, Mama Carpe. I'll agree that we have to call in all NGOs, because it was just in my mind that when it comes to funding, it's different in provinces, because I want to make an example. And then it's still different, but with the different NGOs, there's still disparity in the same areas where one will receive this amount of money and then another will receive another amount of money. And, you know, I don't want to be racialistic. Then it's like NGOs that belong to those that were advantaged that still receive the bulk of the money, and the disadvantaged receives about 90% less. So I'll agree with my members that let us take this to department. Funding model is important. And also, the department have to give us a report. And I thank Mr. Walters for bringing this petition to us. Thank you.
And I do know that at some stage, Honorable Mpots, we had wanted this information when there were these questions, and the department said they were reviewing the funding model. It is then, I want to ride on what you are saying, to say they must also bring those reviewers. And also, if they will remember very well, social development, that there was that workshop of evaluating the social policy, if I'm correct. There was a group of universities under Mama Taylor sitting for days and evaluating the white paper. And then we had wanted those people to come and present so that we hear what came out of that evaluation process and what recommendations were there, so that we can be able to pick it from that angle. So can I give Honorable Waters, Utatu Manzi, ukwenzela agqibezele.
Thank you, Chair. thank you for all the kind words. Chair, just on that funding model, if you slide 10, you must look at the reply to the question. 2012-13, the new funding model was supposed to be implemented. It's never happened. So please, you must push the department for that. But your point about rural areas, and they are worse off than areas in the Kurileni, they are. I mean, there's just far less resources. And the fact that there's no NGOs highlights the point I'm making, is the fact that NGOs cannot even establish themselves in those areas if they're not getting 100% funding for statutory services. And because they can't do their own fundraising, because there's, where do they go to in rural areas? Often people don't have money to give to NGOs in the first place. That's why we need NGOs there. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like a catch-22. And so that's the first thing. So you often find in many areas there's no NGOs at all because of the lack of funding from the department. And then secondly, they can't rely on the lotto because the lotto only calls for applications every few years, and then it takes another few years to get that money in the first if you do get it. So the backs of the NGOs are really up against the wall everywhere, and I take your point, even more so in rural areas. But it does come down to political will and political decisions, because as politicians, MPs, we decide where the money goes to, the budget. And as you know, each committee has the power to change the budget. Committees have that power. So if we feel that not enough money is going towards child services around the country, we must say so as MPs. And we can change the budget. And we're going into the budget phase right now. It's actually coming up when we get back from recess. So we have a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of power as MPs to actually improve the lives of children. And on that note, I want to say thank you once again for hearing me out.
Thank you. I think now we with all members having really said in the department listening, it remains with the secretary to do that admin work, but the activism and focus around the children is going to be preoccupying us as well, because we're dealing with those who are very old and moving to pass away, and those ushering the new ones that are coming. I think we will do our work. There's no reason why I should allow the department, because they've heard, so they will get our correspondence and act accordingly. So thank you very much for wanting to engage us on this matter. And you can inform those people that made you to speak on their behalf that we called you in so that we would discuss the matter and then see how we are going to engage them on their matters that they are raising. Engagement is far more better than a court decision. It's always a win and a lose, and it ends there. But for us to move forward is to engage our society, understand their challenges, and themselves understand the economy of their country. So I think that would be a very good two-way communication going forward. Thank you very much. Thank you for your short visit. Okay, so. Okay, about SASA. Okay, you are welcome because you are a member of this parliament. Please bear with us. The next program, item. Okay, for us to be more better off, let's go straight to SASA report. Are you ready to present, guys?
Thank you, Chair and members. Again, just a very brief update. You would have been following all the proceedings that have been happening in Skopje yesterday as well, but we will just give you a very brief update from the report that we tabled last week.
Sorry, ma'am. It will be very helpful for you to give us your names and your position, because the department and SASSA will know who accounts to us, the accounting officer. But in this regard, we should know which position are you representing, the CEO and so on, because we have not even received the apology of the CEO.
Sorry, Chair, my apologies. The CEO is at the Constitutional Court this morning and should have tabled his apologies. I am Diane Dunkely. I'm responsible for grants administration in SASSA, and I've been asked to present the report. I am supported by my colleagues who have been part of the discussions around the issues all along, and I would ask them to introduce themselves as well. Thank you, Chair.
That would be great.
My name is Rapahle Ramakgopa. Good morning, members. I'm the head for strategy in SASSA.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Dumisile Ndlovu. I'm head in corporate services at SASSA. Sorry, Chairperson?
I hadn't seen you when you were speaking, but I'm happy I can see you clearly now. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Takeri Wachauka. I'm the CFO at SASSA.
Good morning, Chairperson and members, honorable members. My name is Ian Bull. I'm from SASSA Head Office, Administrative Support.
Now we know whom we are talking with and we are engaging with. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And I just would like to record the apologies, both the CEO and the project manager for this this project, Ms. Sordwa and Mvulani, are both at the Constitutional Court. If I can then just update the members.
Honourable Chairperson.
Sorry.
Let us have it in writing today, the official can report back, Mrs. Duncan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That is noted. Just a brief update from our progress report, which we tabled last week. The first is that following the cabinet meeting that took place last week on Wednesday, there were a number of ministers that were identified to form a ministerial task team that would actually guide the process and ensure that there are payments in April 2017, as well as to guide the transition plan going forward. The ministers who are involved are the minister in the presidency, who is the chairperson of that task team, and then ministers from Home Affairs, Telecommunications, Finance, Social Development, State Security, and Science and Technology. This task team met on Thursday last week, as well as on Sunday and on Monday of this week, to guide the activities that are happening. As far as the engagements with CPS, last week we reported that preliminary discussions had happened or were to happen on the 1st to the 3rd of March. The ministerial task team has asked that be put on hold and they will guide. So currently we are waiting for the finalization of the new team that would negotiate with CPS to ensure business continuity, guided by that ministerial task team, and that we're waiting for the outcome of the Constitutional Court, as well as National Treasury giving us the go-ahead to continue on a deviation in terms of their practice note. That leads us to the procurement process. The negotiation team, as I've said, will be set up under guidance of the ministerial task team. The terms of reference of that negotiation team and the specifications for the negotiations will need to be approved and follow a procurement process before we actually go and sit around the table with CPS. Again, that is a process that is being guided by the task team. It is expected that procurement of CPS services will be limited to the time it takes to procure new services, so that it certainly is not going to be a long-term interim contract, but we would be waiting for guidance from the task team. As far as the Constitutional Court is concerned, the matter is actually being heard now as we sit here. We filed affidavits, both the heads of argument as well as the responses to specific questions raised by the court. Those were all filed on Monday, the 13th of March. And then apart from the people that we reported on last week, being Black Sash, who is leading this, and joined by Freedom Under Law as an intervening party, there have also been applications to be admitted as amicus by Corruption Watch and the South African Post Office. The matter is being heard today, and that is where our other colleagues are. The other issue that we were asked to really focus on quite strongly is communication, and that would be communication to the general public, but as well as very specific communication to our beneficiaries. And this committee, the committee will appreciate that in terms of specific communication, it will depend on the outcome of today's court hearing as well as the final decision following negotiations. But despite that, we have had a stakeholder engagement led by our minister that was held in Cape Town on Monday, the 6th of March, and that was held with stakeholders just to make sure that everybody understands exactly what is going on. And a further stakeholder engagement is planned for this coming Friday, and that will be held in Gauteng, and we will be targeting national stakeholders at that engagement. And we've also enlisted the assistance of GCIS to help develop a government-wide, very comprehensive communication plan, which is now ready for rollout. It is just waiting for the specifics to come from the various actions that are currently underway. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. And can I state that as this portfolio committee, we had agreed formally that SASSA report becomes a standing item. And we will remember that we took a decision to deal directly with the executive because the matters are at such a level. I do want to also inform the members that the minister informed me that she's not going to be available for this meeting and for the briefing. And therefore, the briefing that will be given is a briefing that is indeed to keep us briefed, but we cannot interrogate it because the person who is giving us information doesn't have that authority. And therefore, we don't want to be saying, but so-and-so said, but so-and-so said. The minister knows that she, on this particular matter, is obliged to sit and brief us. And therefore, with that, I would like to say we've heard what we have heard. Can I, therefore, please, honorable member, our guest, please, we will come back to you. I've acknowledged your hand. But I was still finishing up so that I call for hands. Yes, yes, I'll do exactly that. Can I then, having said that, ask if there are any matters that the delegation would want to add? Zonke izinto zingene kakuhle. Okay, all right. Honorable
Manzi. Chair, can I ask a few questions of clarity? My concern is that we, on the 15th of March, we've got 16 days left before the 1st of April. There's supposed to be a new team to negotiate with CPS that's going to be established. It hasn't been established yet from the lady that presented. The task team is waiting before that negotiation team is set up. So we have no idea who's going to serve on that negotiation team, I take it. But, I mean, how long, given the 16 days to go and the fact that the negotiation team hasn't even been established, do we envisage that a new contract will be finalized by before the 1st of April? in order to ensure the payments continue? I mean, it seems a very short period to negotiate such a big technical contract, if I can put it that way. Right, that's the first thing. Then also the deviation from Treasury on page one. I take it Treasury has not approved the deviation yet, so that's why we haven't got clarity on that. And what will happen if deviation is not approved? I mean, because they may not approve it. And then my last point of clarity, Chair, is why did we miss the Constitutional Court deadline on Tuesday? Papers were supposed to be submitted by 4 o'clock, I believe. We never did that. And I'd like to know what were the reasons for the missing of the deadline. Thank you.
You can answer, but I think also I'm well informed as to, including the member. You also know we have debated this matter yesterday, and we have seen and we are fully being briefed, but maybe for formality and for your right, I will ask the member to respond.
I'm going to ask the CFO whether he would deal with the issues of the procurement and the members who were present at the discussions with the task team, the ministerial task team, to respond to the questions around the negotiation team. Thank you so much.
Not necessarily the CFO, but the person who is actually due to do that. And I also want to assure you that Tina singabantu abaphucukile asishawuthi nje. Please cool down and give us answers. Asingwaba abantu bandlongondlongo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to respond on the first one, as we have highlighted that already a ministerial task team has taken over, and therefore we take cue on the decisions of the ministerial task team. So we cannot be specific here to respond as to when this task team is going to be put in place. But we are of the view that since they have come on board and the case is in the Constitutional Court, we'll ensure that services are delivered by the 1st of April. So we bank on the wisdom of those two structures currently. With respect to deviation to National Treasury, we cannot preempt their response. However, that was submitted to National Treasury, the request for approval for deviation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Juoste.
On that one, all we can respond is to say that the matter is in court today. The reasons for having filed papers late and everything is being dealt with in the court, and we're unable to talk to that at this stage. Thank you.
Honorable
Yusuf. Thank you, Honorable Chair. CPA said yesterday that if there's not a contract in place today, then they won't be able to continue with the services. So in that case, what are we going to do?
Honorable Member, we can't be talking for CPS because they don't normally sit in this committee. So that information cannot be asked from. He's not a member of SASSA. I think he's not a member.
But, Honorable Chairperson, I mean, maybe I can ask, is it true? Because it was said yesterday.
Honorable
Soledi. Chairperson, I think you have already answered the question, even the question that she's asking now. I'm sure all of us as South Africans, we know how rude, arrogant is the person. He speaks for himself. He doesn't speak for the department. He doesn't speak for SASSA. He's just an uncontrollable failure. So I don't think really it's going to be right to say, is it true? Because they will never know. That person, for me, is just suffer from some sort of a verbal diarrhea. He just goes out and say whatever that he wants to say at any given time. We can't be really entertaining that matter at this stage.
Maybe can I make an intervention and I'll come to Honorable Uhope, go back to Honorable Waters. But I must state very, I've acknowledged you, but unfortunately, the matter that we're still dealing with is the matter of Honorable Uoste. So you heard your matter, ma'am. I'll come back to you. I would want to say, here we're dealing with business. We're dealing with department. We're dealing with parliament. And therefore, we don't want to be in roles of other people who stand for their own organizations and interests. So CPS is a business person, is on the other side of the department. Whether he's lying, whether he's correct, whatever he mentions, he's standing for his own organization. And this department cannot be responsible for what he is actually saying. They are responsible for what has directly been directed to them in an engagement that exists at a particular time. So I would really say to the Honorable Member, the question doesn't fit. Because any other thing, you can pick up your phone, you can ask CPS if he was correct, if he is true to what he's saying. All we are now at, we're at loggerheads, because we are not going to follow what he wants, because we want different things. Our interest are the poor. His interest is using those poor people for a benefit. Hence now we begin to talk BEE when we talk about the poor people of our country. So can I allow Honorable Houston? You will come, Honorable Daddy. But I think she was finishing her own questions, and I don't want to cut her off.
Chair, my question is more to you, because the officials here today are clearly unable to give us any information that we don't already know. What we want to know is, our eggs cannot possibly all be in one basket, that if today everything goes wrong, we want to know if today it's not going to happen like we thought it was going to happen. What exactly are we going to do? We wanted to see the plan, A, B, C, D. This is happening today, that's happening tomorrow, this is that, and it'll all be done by such and such a time. That's the only thing we're interested in. We're not actually interested in this, about stakeholders and engagements and negotiations. So I'm not understanding why so many people have come off the job, paid whatever they've paid to get here, and we haven't asked for this. We want to know minute by minute between now and the 1st of April what is actually taking place on the ground to make sure that we're ready for this. So I'm frustrated for you, because we're looking like complete idiots in this committee. Because we've had, how many years to make sure that we are getting that kind of answer, and we haven't yet got that answer.
Okay.
I'm expressing what I believe is probably your frustration.
Yes, but I'm happy I'm not. I think some members have not expressed being idiots in this arrangement. Let me take you a little bit earlier than today. You will remember, but I'm sorry you also busy with other meetings, and sometimes you miss. And that is acceptable in smaller parties with fewer members. We agreed as this committee that the department must go and express and present their options. Now that SASSA was not going to be able to the court of law. It can't be seen as if the court summoned someone. We agreed that take all these options, and because a constitutional court had pronounced themselves on this matter, go back and get their side of the story. As we sit here, we know exactly that there's a SCOPA process. We've been there too. It can't be like it's a hearsay. what the SCOPA is dealing with. Remember, we said we will invite also Reserve Bank. I want to say these things because some people think we're sleeping on duty. Having been given the information by the department of the engagement in the technical team, we called Reserve Bank. Reserve Bank gave all the story and information. So where we are now is that there is a task team of which the minister is a member. And therefore, that because of the state of affairs, the ones that you have already mentioned, the matter is an executive matter. The minister accounts here. That task team does not account here. So we wait up until the minister gets a go-ahead of what is going to... You remember, you know, you are a South African. A treasury was there in the SCOPA, putting the side of the story, saying that if ABC has been done, I'm not going to speak on their behalf, this will be resolved. The resolution lies with the task minister, inter-ministerial task team, as well as the officials that need to take that implementation through. So we are going to wait for that. But we were actually engaging in this matter because we want to fulfill the fact that they are still trailing, because we said it's a standing item. The minister has forwarded an apology because she has gone there, and will then come back and will get the opportunity to ask such questions. Then I think I've clarified the matter. And at no stage, Honorable Member, do we feel as this committee we are left out or something is not known. What we know is the dates in your minutes, if you want to look into where we said we want the state of readiness, we want this. We have said they must come and give a brief, not necessarily a presentation, because they are not doing their work. The horse will come, and it will be from the horse's mouth. Thank you very much. Can I allow Honorable Waters?
Just one point of clarity, and maybe I can phrase it the other way. What is the final date by which a contract would have to be entered into by SASA with whoever in order to ensure that recipients receive their grants on the 1st of April? What is that final date? By when must it happen?
All we have now is for you to go to your constituency and tell them that these contracts have always come to an end over years. We had all pays. There was no stage where people were going to be told, you will be paid or you will not be paid. The fight is about the process and corruption eradication. The money we voted for is there. You were there. I hope you voted, but I did. And secondly, those funds were for what is due to the 17 million and for payment of a service provider. So we are covered. All we know, those people in the high echelons of our government are not foolish enough to cause a crisis where our country can, our recipients, they will be paid. But as for when, allow, please, Honorable Member, that process to continue without our, we will be given information as our right once they are through. They are working around the clock to correct, because there were some things that were to be removed in the contract. And that information will come from this committee or through your own sources or through your lawyers or through Black Search. You will have plenty of that information on your way. So let's wait for that moment.
I hear what you're saying, but I thought, you know, everyone here is concerned about what's happening. We have SASA here, and the question is, I understand that negotiations are happening or about to happen because the task team, the negotiation team hasn't been set up yet. But the question is, by what's the final date? Is it the 25th of March that we have to have a contract in place? Because we have to have a new contract from the 1st of April, right? Legally, right? So, or some form of contract. Because the one expires on the 31st of March. So what is the final date by which a contract must be entered into with whoever? I'm not saying it has to be CPS or whatever, to ensure that the money is transferred to the provinces and it gets to the people on the ground by the 1st of April. That's it. Just want a date. That's all. Thank you.
I don't have much information about finances, but I do know that definitely 3 days is enough for the money to be transferred. No, I can see the hands. And the phone is bugging again. And the phone is bugging. You are not the executive. This matter was lifted to the executive authority. Why don't we give the honorable member the right to phone the minister? Immediately she is out of that meeting, she will be willing to talk to you. But we are not going to change our position and become an executive authority and speak on behalf of an interministerial task team. We might have all the information, but I am not going to allow anyone who is not an executive authority to take that responsibility, because they will also come to this committee if anything happens. Allow those who are tasked. The president of this country has appointed a task team of ministers, including the treasury, to sort out the matter and give information to the country. So we await for that. So I think we will drive to an end of this session and come to the next item, because we still have a lot of work to do, Honorable Member. So we were actually having minutes for a brief, not for a presentation. Can I give you the last chance?
Thank you, Chair. I hear what you're saying, but I think, you know, from a technical perspective, the fact is, the officials know exactly how long it would take to ensure that the money is in the right place at the right time for the 1st of April. And it's just a simple date by what is the final deadline that a contract has to be entered into. And I think they want to answer, they put up their hands. It's just a simple date, Chair. And I think we just need to find out what it is. I'm sure every member on this portfolio committee is very concerned about it. There's only 16 days left to the end of the month, so what is the final date that we're looking at? Because the negotiation team hasn't even been established yet. We were just told that.
Thanks. Secondly, what you are alluding to, that the team has not been established, is your privilege to have that information. We don't have that information, and therefore we are not going to take this risk of actually saying whatever they have said, but we are not going to allow this risk you are driving. We are driving this committee to. Come. Can you confirm, ma'am, what you said?
Chair, what I had said is that the ministerial task team has been set up to guide the process. The ministerial task team will finalise the specifications, the terms of reference, and the team that will be negotiating. But there are processes that have to be followed, and one of the things is that we've got to wait for the outcome of today's Constitutional Court hearing.
So, Chair, the team hasn't been established, the negotiation team. So that's my point. That's why I wanted to find out, what is the last date that the contract must be entered into?
We understand your question now. Honorable Zoletti.
Citizen, I think you have overemphasized on the matter that I don't think here there is somebody who has got an authority to can answer what Honorable Hortus is asking. I don't think so, Chairperson. It's a very valid question. It's a good question that all of us, we are waiting to hear it. But at this stage, I don't think really there is somebody who has got an authority to answer that. And I'm even afraid, Chairperson, if the staff of SASSA would want to attempt that, they must be careful, because as much as I've followed the proceedings, one will say this, the other one will say this, that one will say that. So whatever that you would want to say, you must really be careful of what we are going to say, because it will be held against you. Thank you.
To be more specific, I think none of the members, I asked them, the SASSA members, where the CEO was. So the chief executive authority is not here. And none of them has been mandated to speak on behalf of the CEO or the executive. And this matter is at a high level. Now, the officials in this temptation, they are going to say something that they will also suffer if it doesn't go that way. So I advise that we leave the mandates to those who have that mandate, being the executive authority as well as the executive, which is the CEO. But if you see you are in a hurry, once we are through with this meeting, honorable member, we will phone them so that they can actually inform us, so that we allow the right information flow to this committee. I thank you very much. I think we enjoyed discussing this matter, and we have tried to interrogate whatever we can. Thank you very much, member. And then I also want to thank the members for participating in this one. No, you are not about to be asked to go. I think you are a very good member in this committee, Mhlekazi Umanzi. Singangena we item elandelayo. Sigqibile ke lena. We are two with this one. Thank you so much, my dear. No. Okay. Okay. Are you ready, Honorable Member? Are you ready? Yes. The one who is ready must take the floor. Who's the acting CEO? Okay. Acting DG. But let me go. Please introduce yourself so that we know your cap today.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Nelly Siwe Vilakazi, DDG in the department. I'm currently acting as DG. I'm leading the team today. We are presenting the third quarter report from the October to December 2016 in the current financial year. Chairperson, I have the members from the department with me, of which the committee is very much familiar with them. I'm not sure whether we can introduce ourselves so that the committee knows who is here. Thank you. Mr. Bisulezi will be leading the presentation. I will ask him to introduce himself, then we'll introduce ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Acting DG, good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thabani Buthelezi from the Department of Social Development, Chief Director, Monitoring and Evaluation.
Good morning, Chair and Members. Clifford Apple, CFO of the Department.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Members. I'm Koning Nxumalo, DDG, responsible for welfare services in the Department.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Peter Nechpari, DDG for Community Development.
Good morning, Members. Brenton van Frieder, Comprehensive Social Security. morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Dil Osborne Masilela, Office of the DG.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Mzolisi Kadoni, DDG for Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
True, you are very welcome. The court is in, the ball is in your court. Let's listen to you. I nearly said.
I will hand over to the CFO and Mr. Buthelezi, who will take the committee through our performance. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson members. With your permission, Chairperson, may we skip the first slide and move straight to slide 9. Chairperson, with your permission, may we go, we skip the overview and go to slide 9 straight. Okay, thank you very much. With regards to the expenditure, we're going straight into the expenditure for the third quarter. We spent 74.4% or 110 million up until the end of September. And in terms of the breakdown, next slide. With regards to the breakdown in the different programs, administration spent 79.83% or 270 million to date. With regards to social assistance, which is mainly the grants, 74.5% or 103.9 billion. Social Security Policy and Administration, 5 million or 72.26%. Welfare Services Policy Development and Implementation Support, 69 or 70%, 504 million. And then Social Policy in Integrated Service Delivery, 95% or 358 million. In total, the 74.43%, as I mentioned before. With regards to the economic classification, compensation 73%, goods and services 86%, and then with regards to our transfers and subsidies, we spend 74%. And then in terms of capital, 45%. The ones that's standing out, goods and services, it's quite higher. And also in terms of our transfers, it's mainly driven by the transfers to the NDA and to other NPO institutions. Cool. Then just with regards to the adjustment estimates, we had our budget cut in the mid-year. With regards to compensation, 4.5 million was taken away from us, and then a billion in terms of the safeguard with regards to the grants. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll then move then to the program performance. I think I just need to move quickly in terms of the summary and compare how we as DSD performed in the third quarter. As the acting DDG said, this is the period from the 1st to the 31st of December 2016. Members, you'll note last week when we came and presented here, we were presenting the second quarter, and we did show that during the third quarter, the department had met almost 80% of its targets. And you'll see as we move to the third quarter, we seem to have declined in terms of fully met. But I need to qualify it. Members, as you note, is 64% as compared to 80. But if you look closely, the larger, once we have not fully met some of our targets, but it's not that these are not met fully, but is that some of them were just partially met. So there was an increase on the targets that were, as a department, in progress in terms of meeting them, but we had not fully met. So if you look, compare in terms of all the quarters, there's a huge increase in terms of those that are in amber, which are not fully met, which for this particular quarter account for 23%, and as compared to the other quarter from first until the second. So this is the status in terms of how we've performed during the third quarter. The next slide just provides a narrative in terms of the graphs as I explained. As per your request, honorable members, we do provide a detailed analysis in terms of the actual number of targets to say this is how each particular program performed and so forth. And you'll note that the program one, in terms of it has 16, the total number of targets in terms of the APP is 16, 8 for program 2, 8 for program 3, and it's 38 and 34 for program 4 and 5 respectively. And you'll note as well that this is how then these programs has met in terms of the total number of their program. You'll note that program 2 and 3 almost fully met all their target. It's only one target that were not that were partially met, and there was no way where they did not meet any of their targets. Program 4 and 5, they did meet some and did not meet some of them, and as well as program 1, which seemed to not have fully met most of their targets. You'll note that in the 16 targets that they have, it's 9 that they did not fully meet, 2 did not meet at all, and 5 are only those that they fully met. Now, moving to the CFO has just provided the detail in terms of the overall expenditure. Program 1, by end of the third quarter, it spent 79.8% of its budget, with a lot of that, as has yet explained, is within the office accommodation as well as the office of the as well as the ministry and so forth. And this is the breakdown in terms of the corporate management. The administration, as he had explained, in terms of the ministry, in terms of the overspending, is with regards to the staff, that is additional staff that is required for both the minister and the DM's office. And in terms of the goods and services, as we had explained, this is what then is classified as office accommodation that relates to IT licenses, lease agreements, departmental GG flights, AG, as well as cleaning and security services for the Department of Social Development. Moving now to how in Program 1 some of the units performed, we start with Program 1 International Relations, Communication, as well as M&E. Those are just the ones that we've selected. On International Relations, there was a target for the third quarter to facilitate participation in 2 international events, and this was overachieved as we exceeded the number that we targeted. Instead of 2, it was 8. It was engagements that the unit had facilitated. For the M&E, it was the development of the set of indicators that are aligned to the outcome-based framework, and these were done. They were defined, as well as the technical indicator description was also completed for the outcome-dating indicators. Also, in terms of hosting, for communication to host 24 public participation events for both Minister and DM, this was fully achieved. In terms of the quarter, we targeted 6, but by end of the third quarter, it was 13 public participation program for both DMs and ministers that were conducted. For legal services and IT, still at the program 1, the legal services had to develop and vet contracts through management system, and of these, it was 24 contracts that were received, and all of them had been vetted through the management system by end of the third quarter. For IT, it was development of the Child Protection Register alternative care system, and this was developed. And we are also here to report that in terms of upgrading of the National Integrated Social System Information System, the NISIS, that will include community profile that has been developed by end of the third quarter. Moving to Program 2, as I did indicate, in terms of expenditure, the CFO did indicate as well that within the threshold in terms of the expenditure, we reported during the second quarter report last week, It's just the two grants where we seem to have exceeded in terms of what we had projected. This is the War Veterans Grant as well as the grant in aid. And you can see that even in terms of the expenditure and how in terms of it has performed, and we did provide the reasons as well during the last time we were here last week. On Program 3, Social Security Policy and Administration, they've also, in terms of expenditure, they're within 7.2%. And the expenditure we did indicate there are some of the goods in terms of the lower expenditure. The lower expenditure mainly relates to projects that were to be finalized during the fourth quarter. And also there's very little litigation cases that have been reported in the first and second quarter of the financial year. So that's why there was 55% spending with regard to this Program 3. Moving to the actual targets. One of the targets was to draft the policy on the universalization of benefits for older persons, and this was completed by end of the third quarter. Also, there was the unit had to complete a discussion paper on universalization of the child support grant. So both these universalization papers for older persons and child support grant have been completed and finalized by end of the third quarter. Also, they were to prepare the technical inputs and update reports on mandatory cover for retirement, disability, as well as survivor benefit. And these have been prepared and the report has been updated by end of the third quarter. Regarding the appeals adjudication, the program had a target to adjudicate 70% of all appeals within 90 days of receipt, and this was done. So it had received 500, they received 525, and of these, it was 500 that had been processed within 90 days. So they'd fully met this target. They'd also fully met the target on terms of adjudication of all the appeals that have been received with full information from SARS, or complete records. This had to be done as well within 90 days, and this had been done. So they'd received 415, and all 415 had been adjudicated. And this is what they had received from SARS complete record. In terms of inspectorate for social assistance, they had a target to undertake fraud prevention awareness campaign, and this was undertaken through 5 workshops. Also, they had a target to conduct at least 8 stakeholder focus groups regarding the development and to implement stakeholder partnership strategy. So in total, there were 8 focus groups that had been conducted and concluded by end of the third quarter. Moving to Program 4, Welfare Services, Policy Development and Administration. In terms of expenditure, the CFO did indicate that they seem to have fallen slightly below the threshold. They were 69.9% by end of the third quarter. And some of the reasons, as we had submitted during the third quarter, is regarding the substance abuse relating to the construction of the substance abuse centers in both Northern Cape and Free State, which then there were had delays. This is regarding to the national grant that had been allocated, the grant offered about 85 million for 2016-17 financial year. Also, there was underspending with regard to HIV-AIDS program, and this relates to the transfer payment for HIV-AIDS organization, which is said to be only released, which had to be released by end of the fourth quarter, which is the quarter that we are about to complete in the next 2 weeks. I did indicate here in terms of the spending and provided the reasons. This provides the detail in terms of the substance abuse treatment centers as well as the NPOs that, as I did indicate, the National Council as well as HIV-AIDS organization. Moving to the actual targets, we start with the service standards. They had a target, the annual target was to develop a demand and supply model for services practitioners, and by end of the third quarter, they had to develop a draft, and this draft was developed indeed. And Honorable Chair, also they wanted to submit the recruitment and retention strategy for social service professionals, and this had to be approved. And indeed, in some of the forums, including the DDG forum and welfare services forum, as well as HR courtesy forum, these forums were able to engage with the strategy and they were able to provide the approval for it. And also they had a target to consult the draft social service practitioners bill, and this the consultations that were held in Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Gauteng, Northwest, KZN, and Limpopo by end of the third quarter. Regarding the older persons as well as early childhood development, Honorable Chair and members, there was a target to coordinate implementation of the National Active Aging Program, and indeed during the month of October, a National Aging Active Program was held in Limpopo 2016, where all the persons from all provinces participated in that is usually called the Golden Games. Also, regarding the ECD infrastructure plan, the infrastructure plan has been consolidated and is based on the consultation that the department held with CSIR. Also, in terms of development of the ECD maintenance improvement plan, we had a target to assess ECD centers, and by end of the third quarter, Chairperson, 1,841 early childhood development sites had been assessed by the department. Regarding children's services, orphans and vulnerable children, we had a target regarding the registration of adoptions that were received from children's courts with complete records. The target was to register 100% of them, and a total of 360 adoptions were registered during the third quarter, with 225 of them nationally and 37 inter-country adoptions that the department were able to register. Another target was to present the Children's Amendment Bill to the NCOP Select Committee, and it did during the week of 21st to 29 November 2016. The bill was presented and approval provided by the NCOP Select Committee. Also, there is a target to conduct 9 intersectoral capacity building workshops on children's rights and responsibilities. The target for the third quarter was to conduct 3, and indeed the 3 capacity building workshops on children's rights and responsibilities, Chairperson and honorable members, were conducted. Also, was for us as another target in terms of submit the compliance reports on regional obligations to the AU structures, and the reports on the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child were submitted to DECO for them to process it through the international structures. Regarding the social crime prevention and victim empowerment services, we had a target as an annual target for the approval of the policy framework for accreditation and of diversion services, and indeed by end of the third quarter we had reviewed the draft policy framework, and it approved was obtained from the Welfare Services Forum. Also, another target was for us to have a service level agreement for us to be able to finalize the consultation of the bill and submit it to the state law advisors, and indeed a consultative workshop were held during the month of November 2016, Honorable Chair. Still on the social crime prevention and victim empowerment, we had to prepare the accreditation proposal for Social Development Sector Academy, and indeed the accreditation proposal for the Social Sector Academy has been prepared using the Health and Welfare Sectors checklist. Also, moving another target in terms of approval of capacity building program for teenage parents, the program has been presented to the Chief Directorate Management Meeting and Family Services Forum for input, and it was indeed supported. We also had a target to capacitate provinces to establish community-based treatment services, and the capacity building was conducted in Northwestern Free State and the other provinces, in, as we had reported to Mr. Kota, had already been completed or visited. HIV/AIDS program is the last one within program 4, with the target to do training, to train 75 organizations on psychosocial support services. And indeed, 94 organizations were trained to implement psychosocial support programs in the following provinces: Northern Cape, KZN, Limpopo, as well as Mpumalanga. Also, another target under HIV/AIDS was to provide training to community-based organizations on CPIMS, which is community-based information management monitoring system, and indeed 54 community-based organizations were trained how to utilize CPIMS, and scheduled training did not take place as planned for other provinces due to financial constraints at the province reported such to us. Moving to program 5, which is social policy and integrated service delivery, in terms of the expenditure, this the CFO did indicate that's where there was also overspending in terms of, as compared to other programs, 94.9% is what has the program 5 has spent by end of the third quarter, with the main areas being the NDA in terms of transfers, and you'll note as well in terms of community development, the reason will be provided in detail but mainly it was the overspending of 95.2% it relates to the funding of the food relief agents in provinces. This is in relation to the food relief program, which was about 53 million allocation. But the CFO did provide the details. I'll move straight to the actual targets. Regarding the work that we are doing regarding the NPO, our target is for the department to process 99% of applications, and we are committing, and the target is for us to do this within 2 months of receiving the applications. And indeed, as a department, we received 8,696, and it was 8,651 of them, accounting for 99%, had been received, and we have been processed within 2 months. We also had the target to conduct NPO national roadshows in 15 local municipalities. We had overachieved, as we were able to conduct more than what we had targeted. We conducted 22, and in 22 local municipalities, we had a target to train 500, which is just a quarter from the 3,000 as our annual target, and this was overachieved as 772 NPOs had been trained in terms of governance and compliance with regard to the national, with regard to the NPO Act, I mean. The other target regarding NPO is to process 95% of NPO reports within 2 months, and this has been done, and we had achieved 99.6%, which is just 1.6% above than, higher than what we had targeted. Regarding community mobilization and empowerment, Chairperson, we had a target to conduct the capability assessment regarding the norms and standards for community development capabilities. And the capability assessment was conducted in both Northwest and Gauteng. Also, we had a target to reach 150 wards through community outreach program, and this was overachieved at 379 wards were reached through community outreach programs. Also another target regarding youth mobilization guidelines. We wanted to consult 4 provinces on youth mobilization, and by end of the third quarter, we had consulted 8, which is means we had not only fully met, but we had overachieved that target. Also, finally, Chairperson, the last slide is about community mobilization and empowerment. It relates to the unit having a target to develop a framework for linking cooperatives to economic opportunities within the sector. And we wanted to consult on the framework, and of course the draft framework has been consulted with provinces, and the revision have been implemented in terms of the inputs. We also had a target to facilitate the implementation of the Integrated Food and Nutrition Security Plan in all the 9 provinces as an annual target. But for that target, the implementation of the international of the Integrated Food Security and Nutrition Security Plan is being rolled out to all the provinces. We are glad to report that. Another target, Chairperson, is making sure that people are accessing food, as our annual target is 60,000. But you know that by end of the third quarter, we have far exceeded this target, 67,243 people. Only in this quarter, we made sure that as a department, we are able to assist them for them to be able to access food. Chairperson, this is where the presentation ends, and I thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Can you put, switch yours, can he switch his? Okay, thank you. For Honorable Bev Browns.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I'll start from the back. The achievements, I think we always ask about overachievement. How does it affect the budget? The last one that the presenters talked about is food, 15,000 budget target for, and 67,000. Now, it's not just seeing people, it's actual food that's been handed out. And the same as the mobilization guidelines, 4 provinces target, you've gone to 8 provinces. It's not you're seeing at one venue, you're seeing more than what you expected. So it's you're moving around, and it must affect your budget. And the same as with everything else, the reaching out, community outreach program 50379. So it's a question that the committee has always asked, you know, how does it affect your budget? Then I want to ask, is all these targets, is it linked to your KPIs or is it just a tick box? Thank you, Chairperson.
You answer. I think we acting DG. I think there is a need for us to revisit the area of the program. Because listening to the programs that and they are overachievement, you see that some are repetition. You can read for yourself. You can go back to that page. Community mobilization and it is all surround in one program, and we're spending so much, and I don't think we are going to be allowed as this portfolio committee to continue in this arrangement. If we had time, really, I would say you must go back to the community mobilization and this food thing, the other type of food security and the other type of other food. But it's not happening in a manner that you can actually go and oversight. If for food parcels you would ask this committee to go and conduct a food parcel, where would we go? Would we go to an Imbizo and see how many parcels are placed there? Because it doesn't seem there's a particular system where you are able to trace each and every food parcel. The other worst part of it is when people, even if you are poor, you still want to maintain acting dignity, your dignity. Is it right to go and queue and in an Imbizo and take in front of everybody? You are called in front and then you are given a parcel. Your facial expression, you are being taking photos. I think this is very much undermining the dignity of our people. The way we handle their poverty, the way we budget for this, and the programs that are so many. For example, I don't understand when you say you've trained about this. So many people trained. Training includes a lot of processes that will enable you to absorb and to transform and to be why you were trained. But this big number doesn't say to me, if you bring 300 students into a class and you think they are all going to pass to the next one. I think elders, there's a process, there is the adult learning process. There's a process that must be followed. And secondly, that arrangement must exist in the form of infrastructure. I don't say we must go and buy and build infrastructure. Even if it's a church of a Zion church, you know that's where we go. And when we can't do what we were trained to do, we can always go back for further assistance. I think we have not been doing justice. I can see the achievements, and they go back to what I think there must be something that is cost effective. When all has been done, can you see how much food we gave? How much amount you've shown us? But if you go to those people, they're hungry today. Today they're hungry. Because what we do, we spend so many millions for something that is not sustainable. So it's something you can never show to the next person. And you are being severely punished as this portfolio committee. Today, if it was for me, I could have said I'm not coming, but it was not a class where you decided to come or not. Can I give others? But I'm putting this, for example, the also the issue of standardization and norm according to provinces. I don't know, honorable members, how we are going to be able to look clearly and carefully and implement the cooperative government principles. Because if you go to a province, they say they don't know what the national has been doing here. To an extent, they don't even attend. And the issue of the program one, the SNT, because CFO, there has been outreach. It's a huge problem. It's right on our neck as this portfolio committee. How do you go and operate in a mood from national? And how much are you going to claim for being there, mobilizing, whereas you've got your CDW, your councillor, your ward committee, your traditional leader, your mayors and everybody. But it's decided that someone from national must go and base in KwaMashu. Ahlale khona. Omnye ahlale kwabo. Manje dluleke, let me give somebody else.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think what you always speak about and you forgot today because you were tired is the impact. You know, we don't measure. Are you listening? Thank you. Now, Mama Kapa. We don't measure the impact, and the chairperson always speaks about how does it impact on other people's lives, but whatever program we have. But what worries me is that there's quite a number of programs, but I'll start from the beginning, Program 4. It's good enough to give us reasons when it comes to, substance abuse centers that are being bought. I think it's three states. Yeah, that delay, yeah. It's good enough to tell us it is delayed. But remember, we're going into the last quarter. So their person sits with a problem. We know the money, seeing that's accrual. You know, it's committed. But I think it will be good if you tell us really what are the reasons for those delays. I think that's going to be important. Then when it comes to your substance abuse, HIV and AIDS, do you normally give money out the last quarter on HIV and AIDS? I think you have to answer that question for us because it's rife. So speak to us that we know that. Do you do it every year? Then the other one, we have this over expenditure in administration. But I'm not going to speak to it because I think the chair spoke enough to it. But the office of the BDG, gross underspending in those offices. So you have to be able to explain to us what took place in those offices, why the gross underspending there. Because what can happen when we have this gross underspending, there's things that you do that the committee don't like, those vitamins. Those vitamins come through if you don't sort that out. Let me just go a bit further because there's still other things here. Let me just see where they mark off as we went along. There was somewhere, wait, we see it on this page, where transfers are made to higher education. But it's very low. Is the tranche you giving to them? Or was it for the bursaries that went to them? And when is that paid out? Because we under the impression if it's not, the bursaries is paid out in that first quarter. But it's a bit, it's very high there. Then when it comes to, did you over budget for foreign governments and international organizations? Is it over budgeted for? Because there can't be a baseline if you're still sitting on 27.75%. Then your non-profit organizations, what took place there? Because yeah, we had a petition this morning. And we're answering, and you have to still answer us questions. But it's low. What did you do? What was the problem that the money couldn't go out there? And I think I'm on the last. Because I marked off where I felt, you know, we need really clear answers. Because what can happen is that when we go into that fourth, quarter, when it comes to your annual report, we are going to have vitamins again. And the person is going to ask about your baseline. Do you have proper baselines? Because there the chairperson spoke about the, you know, that, and I think Honorable Bev, that you overachieve. And overachievement means you don't have proper baseline figures. Thank you.
We will soon get to the finish. We are 100% exhausted. This whole process worked on us. I think also we need to revisit. I'm honest with you. We need a very, very strong workshop. Because if you render services, at some stage you must reflect and check whether these are still relevant or not. And I'm honest on the matter that of the NGOs. If you give millions to certain NGOs, and in other areas there's absolutely no NGO, how do you actually try to therefore come in? What other intervention in the event there's no NGO? And I think the matter of food security must take a change. I think, acting DG, the fact that we go and be in clusters of other committees, as you state in your document that you've got these government partners, where you come with health, rural development, and agriculture, etc. It is critical that you have our own budget. And in whatever agreement you get in there, we need to have agreed to that. Because when nothing is happening, we are the people who are idiots. I take note of what that member said to us, that we have become idiots. I took note of it, and in an offensive way, because in a very offensive manner, because it seems we come here to make jokes and sit with you and allow you to get away with murder. I think I don't know whether the department, other than formal sittings, because what the departments also do is to have a routine that will have such meetings. I mean, this cut and paste of what we have been doing last year, we then bring it forward, without actually removing some of the things that might have been already got to an end. But if you look into the other budget, you still find the same programs as they are, which means there is no soul searching, there is no interrogation of what we have been doing remains the same. But what has killed us in many things, including what you are presenting today, because there is much we are going to do about it, is one thing. that I think the roles, honorable members, must be, we must be able to stick to our roles. This role definition, you know, I was once, I was a mayor. There was always a workshop on roles of the chief whip, roles of the speaker, roles of the mayor. But we were worried about these roles all the time. But I've grown up to understand the role definition matter. It governs. It's the best tool. So these deviations, as if we, when you talk to us, no, we are allowed to have 7%. Do you really budget for deviation because you know we've got an allowance to do that? So this, these matters, our parliament is under extreme difficulty because when we ask things to be done, and when we even ask people to leave and come back when they are right, we are seen as really playing a game. But I think at the backstop with us, I've seen it and I know it. And I will always, I've learned the hard way this time. I appeal to you, acting DG. And the issue of acting has been a cancer. When we were talking about New York here, acting, I think Mr. Magwaza was very upset. And he said, I'm here, I'm not in New York. But today, Auditor General has written about it. When they come to present here, they will tell you how this organogram is not effective. So he will come and report when we invite him, as expected. That is, and how the department has gone down. I think while I am talking to you in your capacity as acting, I think maybe the minister or the acting DG must have a meeting of a some sort of retreat, your own retreat, and reflect on what is taking place in service delivery, because we are going for a new budget. And when we go for a new budget, I have reached a stage where I say, maybe the committee must have access to a performance contracts, so that we are able to tie someone to a task. I think the performance contracts themselves, when they were signed, and how they are being, people are being assessed on those. Because it becomes very difficult for someone to come and account instead of an executive person. Can I really ask someone to come and replace the DG, to report when the DG is present, and someone else? Because we have always said the accounting person, officer, must account to the portfolio committee. Can I really sometimes ask the CFO to come and present something that is not about the budget and expenditure? So these are the matters that we have. I appeal to you, ngiyakucela mamuvilakazi, nihlale phansi phaya, nilungele uba sizongena kwinto entsha, and nathi ke amazinyo ayo yothengwa, if we can't bite, sifake noba zi-false teeth and bite. As a committee, ngiyanicela mamuvilakazi, niyoyilungisa lengxaki. Apha nje thina sesiqhubela uba sesike sagqiba ukwenza umsebenzi wethu. Kodwa nawe xa ungahlala phansi endlini, uphathe ipeni ebomvu ne-highlight, uhighlight programs that talk the same thing. Because the idea of having these programs, you can't have isibindi and have another thing. Have imbizo and have imikhonzo. And the issue of how we give people food is something that is critical, that we must improve extremely on it. Maybe someone must go and fetch food somewhere. Akwele nagwe pasina ambayongen, kuna lendo kukunike mbizwini, kutuwa 200 2,000 food parcels were given. Who are those people? And how are you going to give them the second food parcel? And this has not halved our poverty, but has made it more worse. I appeal to you, and I think the meeting has come to an end. I thank the members for coming, and I think members of this committee are not productive and can't be here on Monday. They can't be here on Monday for Tuesday. For Wednesday.
Yeah.
We've had the pain, and we felt it. And I don't think we will be able to come. Honorable members, are you having a in our mantle of Ouya? Okay, so we will meet in the oversight, therefore. I ngiyacela botoho nabasuka kude ko Eastern Cape siye pha ku oversight. Let's go to the oversight. And secondly, the secretary will be in touch for you. Okay, mna ndifuna ke ndishiyeke kancinci nje nani mizuzu. Sigqibile. No. Thank you.